144 in the last column, second paragraph.
The pastor writes, Kratanti Nikol Hasasadam.
Yaakov Avinu said that he is small, much too small from all the kindness that God has done for him.
Asher Atzisla Sandefa, that which you have done with your servant Yaakov. The Midrash, so the Midrash says two things about this Kratanti. Eini Kedai, one understanding is that Yaakov is saying, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve all this that you have given to me. V'chad Omar, whereas the second opinion in the Midrash says, Kedai Ani, I am worthy. Two totally different statements, Eini Kedai or Kedai Ani. Well, if he's that, according to this, Kasha, my Kratanti, if Kratanti means I am worthy, then what is it? What is he trying to say? That's a strange way to say I'm worthy. I'm too small. It's not how you say I'm worthy. That's how you say I'm not worthy. So what did he mean by that? Ah. Al-Yudeh Atmo Shekatonti. Shot is this. Through the very fact that Yaakov recognizes that he is small, he realizes it. And by that, he realizes indeed that he is worthy. It's worthy because he knows in truth and in honesty, his grasp of himself in comparison to God is so real, he knows he's small, that makes him worthy of receiving the blessing. Kelly, is that John? Is that John? Okay.
Can you repeat that one more time?
The second thing?
What did you just say?
I said, is that John?
Hey, can you repeat that? Can you repeat that now?
Is that not?
Is there somebody who called me? Thank you. Hey, I'm right on the back of this. Thank you very much. So he's saying, he's going to explain a little bit more. Kratanti, by him, by his recognition that he is small, that makes him worthy to receive God's blessing.
And he said both things.
He said, Kratanti, I'm small.
So and I am worthy.
No, he just said Kratanti.
That's all he said.
So the Midrash has a difference of opinion. What does that mean? Is he saying, I'm not worthy, which is what we always have thought it meant, that's the shot. Or is he saying, I am worthy? One opinion says that he's saying, I'm worthy.
By saying Kratanti.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But why would he be saying, I'm worthy?
He's going to say that. That's the point he's going to talk
about. And we understand
the
other one's an easy understanding.
Right, right. We have to understand what he meant by that. And that's really what he's going to address
here. I can understand
him
understanding he might be worthy in his own, as in his own level.
Right. Well, we'll see. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Seems a little chutzpah there, you know?
Okay. Let's see what he meant. We're on 144, huh? Ve'im amnam. And if it is so, la'inei basar, to the eyes of flesh, to a human being, ha'omer kratonti, one who says, I am small, nire kihu misgoe, it looks like an arrogant thing to say. It's like saying, I am humble. A person who says, I am humble, we immediately would think that they're not. So what does it mean? But a person who can say before God, Kotonti, I am small, he can say that to God. It's kind of like we wanted to say, Bruce. It represents his recognition. He knows it. He knows it. And he realizes that he knows Shakol ha-chasonim ve-emes, that all the kindness and good things and the true things, sha'asa imo habor yisbarach simo eina bizachusa, he knows in truth that all the good things God has done for him is not in his merit. A person really realizes that. V'lachein ve-emes lo yigara mizachusa klum. For that person, when something good is done for them, nothing is taken away, is deducted from their merit. So he's saying, I am small. I know I'm small. I know it all comes from you. And of course, it's Yaakov Avinu saying it, so he's serious. It's not a feigned kind of humility. He knows it. When that happens, then truly, he becomes worthy of God's blessing. And that's the pshat of Kedai Ani. It's like a catch-22. He's not really saying I'm worthy. He's saying I recognize how small I am. And by that recognition, he becomes worthy. The recognition of his smallness before God makes him worthy of receiving. And then when one receives from God in that way, they don't deduct from heaven a person's merits, because he's not saying it's my merit.
So before he made reference to that a person loses their merits by like recounting
that,
them
that,
or
that's what, that was what some of the Mephoreshim say, that Yaakov Avinu, what about the promise Hashem made to him that he'd protect him? Well, why does he have to be afraid?
He thought he lost
his own merits. Right.
So what about Anayim, the poor people?
Anayim.
What did they get? So they say that this is also a blessing from God, that I have torn clothes and shoes with holes in them.
A difficult thing to realize, but there is some recognition that...
I guess you could always have less.
God, but right. Yeah, that this situation, this life situation,
this
is from
this
God.
Right.
Many of us want to make a big deal about being able to be makabel yisurin ba'am, to receive suffering
with love. Right. Melachim be'emes lo yu... I'm sorry. V'zeh haklal. This is the rule. Im ba'adam tole ba'atzmo. If a person says, it hinges on my merit, what God does for me is my merit. Ma'asa lo be'emes b'zuchus ma'asav. If a person says that what comes to me is because of the result of my own deeds, then they do deduct from his merit. Let me read that again because I think I read it improperly. If a person says it depends on me, then indeed, if he says, okay, it's my merit, and heaven says, okay, we'll use your merit. And as a result of that, he loses merits because he's using them up. It's mine, it's me. No, okay, it's you.
Okay.
Now we're going to use some of them up. You got less in your account, so to speak.
Can you run out of it?
Yeah, and that's what Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. He did not want to say in any way that this was dependent on his merit, but even if it was, he was concerned that he ran out. He was concerned, maybe.
And if you run out, what happens?
Then you're really, you could be in trouble. But however, what we could also say there is that could bring one to a realization that we never have too much merit. And a person could then hang themselves, make it dependent on God, which would be a good thing.
So like you can never give, but yet at the same time, the Torah says that there's a limit to tzedakah. So like giving away stuff, there is like, I mean, giving away tzedakah, it just seems to be like
it needs to do another mitzvah. It's true that tzedakah has its limitations too, and if you give away too much, then you impoverish yourself. Although there are very great tzaddikim who felt that they should do that, and they did, but that's not what's required or what's thought of.
So in your own head, you shouldn't be keeping score. That's the bottom
right.
line. You shouldn't
that's
be
right.
keeping
Don't
score.
Keep score. Go with the approach that this is all from God. That's a better approach.
Kind of keep score in the sense that. Not keeping score, but just be anxious that you're adding up merit.
We're hoping that we are.
I mean, you can refrain from averas, but and that's one thing. But you're not. But you can, every time I do, not every time, but sometimes when I do something, and I think, well, that's another merit to add to the pile.
So one would not want to think like that.
Because you can apply it in your personal life.
You're in trouble, that's all. What's that?
You can apply it in your personal life and say, I've done 20 things for that person.
Right.
No.
And then what happens is that we end up with a sour attitude instead of with a positive attitude. Well, I would recommend not doing that. One more merit in my account. I just would say, don't think about it. Do a mitzvah. Baruch Hashem, thank God I was able to do a mitzvah. That's it.
What?
They want to think about how they're accumulating. Yeah. It's a stickle of...
Well, those could be reconciled. I know they're not accumulating.
They could.
The Avera is still...
That's also part of the cheshbon, you know. An Avera doesn't take away from a mitzvah, though. You know, but we say, okay, I got one more thing. Or maybe it makes a person feel a little more protected or something like that. But I wouldn't take it too far. Well, yeah, Neil?
As you say, as far as seductive, and Torah also says that you can... That's the only way you can challenge Hashem, is by giving
it says, give Aser, give a tenth, and then you shall become wealthy. Aser be foolish, and tis Asher, right? And that is one area. Shimon, you had a comment?
Just when you use the term schus, as soon as you start using that term, it seems, you know, it implies almost a tit-for-tat kind of relationship.
Right.
So you want to, look at it in some other...
More of a holistic, a developmental type of relationship, earning the closeness to God.
Right.
There's a remarkable mimer in the Kamarnas writing where he talks about how this little tefillah of Yaakov is the source of the Shemona Esrei brachas, and he talks about it kind of word, word for word. And I was just thinking, not connected to that, but just thinking about it, that this is a remarkable juxtaposition to the whole question that often comes up in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov says, so to speak, if I return to my father's house, etc., then Hashem will be for me for a God. Almost the idea, the question that seems to be brought up at that point, almost making a cheshbon with Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like he's demonstrating in a certain sense a higher level, a level that's beyond any calculation of a cheshbon.
Good. Efrain? Josh?
How do you reconcile not even considering it a cheshbon with Rambam's in Hilchos Teshuva? He says you should always see yourself as being balanced between merits and
that's precisely it. That's precisely it. We don't know. A person says, I know I have tens of fuyos today. How do you know?
Okay.
How do you know? The person did a mitzvah. I mean, what happened along with that mitzvah? The person didn't aver. What happened along with aver? We don't know. In terms of Avodas Hashem, we have to see ourselves as hanging in the balance. Because that will promote more Avodas Hashem.
Right, but I'm not saying the counting up.
Right.
When you say, I'm adding one to the pile, but that's not saying how many, that might be the first one in the pile. You just say that's one more in the pile, if there are any.
What we're saying is that the world is in a balance, and that, including myself, and any positive thing I do can swing the balance. I'm not thinking about, 10 versus 10, 20 versus 20. I'm thinking about a world in balance, and I have to tip the scale. I have to lean the world in that direction. Not, I have to get one more zechus for myself.
Oh, you're saying global instead of...
And personal, too. I have to lean myself in that direction. As opposed to, now I have 20 instead of 19. I'm just making a statement and an actual movement. I'm moving myself forward, closer to Hashem. That's the bigger picture. Because the cheshbonos are inaccurate. We don't know what they are. Yeah?
But going along with that is our humanness and our feeling good about, let's say we did a lot of chesed.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about counting every chesed you did.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, you feel
good about it.
You feel good about it. So,
I think that's fine.
Otherwise, you're real. I know there's a balance there,
right,
too, because I can get out of control.
Right, a person could become haughty or whatever it is, self-congratulatory.
But while you're feeling good about something, you definitely are reflecting on what you did. We do reflect on our actions and our midot to see, have I been trying to do mitzvahs and chesed?
And that's constructive. And also, like I was saying, I do think that if a person feels good about doing mitzvahs, it's a very positive thing. It's an involvement in what's meaningful. A mitzvah makes one joyous. I think that's very positive. Okay?
I was glad to hear you say that there is something to be said for taking that self-recognition, not just Hashem brought me to the opportunity to do that mitzvah, but that I was able to bring myself to pick up the opportunity and really do it, because, you know, there's always that temptation.
Right.
But the other piece is, it's not just you don't know how much is in that account of merits, and you don't know, as Josh was saying, how it balances against it, but you don't know what your own personal sort of minimum balance requirement is. You know, he's worried about getting down to zero.
Before there's a service charge.
Big service charge, you know? And it's not always zero, you've got to get below that $100 as you know, there's trouble.
We want to be careful.
So, we want free checking from God.
and we're never going to know where our personal level is going to be there.
And we're demanding it.
No, you have to say, I have so little, you know, you could give me free checking.
All right. Avamisha Yodea, but a person who knows, about 10 lines into it, Shehakol Bechesed Elyon, that all comes from God's kindness. Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu Misnahegima, then indeed God conducts himself with this person accordingly. But no same lo hakol bechesed, and everything does come with chesed. V'lachein nimsa kol zuchu Yosef nisharim lo l'doros, then all of his merit remains intact forever. V'ikr ha-pirish katonti mikol ha-chasadi v'mikol ha-emes. He said, the main perish of this statement, katonti, I am too small for all your kindnesses, from all your truth. Husha Yaakov Avinu Olav HaShalom Yada ki kol ha-olam tolui ba u'bizaro. Yaakov knew very well that the world was dependent upon him and his progeny, his descendants. He knew it well. V'Hashem Yisborach Herolo, God showed to him, ki kol ha-chasarim v'ho-emes sha-kadosh Baruch Hu meitiv la-olamo, that all the goodness and kindness that God brings to the world, hu al-yado u'be'emso u'so, is through the patriarch Yaakov, who was brought into the Yud Beshvatim, the Klal Yisrael, into being. V'zeshokosu v'eitiva imach kolomar b'emso u'smasecha, I will do good with you, meaning to say, I will do good through you. Hashem is saying, through you, Yaakov, I will bring goodness to the world. V'chein kol avos, heim kiyum ha'olam. All the avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, bring sustenance and existence to the world. Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu menaheg olamo ayudeihem mechesed v'rachamim. The world is guided by God through their midos, through chesed, through rachamim, through din, for Yaakov, for Yitzchak. V'zeh she'omar v'nivrachu v'cha. And that's what it means, that they will be blessed in you, through you. U'ba'avur ki ha'avos yadu zeh, hoya kol tefila sehem ba'avur klal habriya. Because the avos knew that they were a certain type of vehicle through which God's bracha goes to the whole world, they daven for the whole world. They didn't see themselves as just an individual, but they knew their tefilos were something that the world depended on. And that's what he means, I am small from all the kindness, asher asisa es avdecha, that you have done with your servant. Kolomar, ha-chasadim v'emes shahabur yisparach osei al-yada. Yaakov said, if you are using me, Hashem, as a vehicle through which to bless your whole world, that I am truly too small for that. That's just, you know, it's too hard for me to imagine. L'chein mevake shelo yihi yahu chas v'shom ha-ma'ake. Therefore he said, okay, if that's the case, that I'm a certain vehicle for bracha, don't let me be a barrier. He accepted it. I'm too small for this. I'm not up to this. Please don't let me be an obstacle for the bracha that comes to Klal Yisrael through me. L'chein hatzilenina. Therefore, save me from Esav. That was the next part of the prayer. Save me from Esav. Let me be a worthy and a fitting barrier. V'ata amarta heite veiti imach. You told me, Hashem, I'm going to do good, meaning now through you, not with you, through you. Then let me come through this battle with Esav intact. That the world, the good that comes to the world comes through Yaakov. Therefore, save me from the battle with Yaakov so I can be a fitting vehicle for bracha. This goes back a little bit to that Rambam you were focusing on, Josh. A Jewish person must know that everything is dependent on them. This moment, it's all on me. And with that tremendous power that God has given us, through that frame of mind, set forth your davening to Hashem. That right now the world is standing on my shoulders. Carry your tefillah through like that. As it says, that many were with me, that's from Tehillim. It's a little bit twist on that shot. Because many are dependent upon me, therefore I'm going to set forth my tefillah in a way that the whole world is upon my words right now, and it's going to matter. I'm going to make it matter.
Why my back gets sore during
the Look over that part again.
The last part?
Yeah.
All right, so let me just retrace it anyway, because it's really an interesting thought. One shot is, Katonti, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of all this. The second shot is, I am worthy. But it really meant, Kedayani, is that I realize how small I am before God, that everything is dependent upon God, and therefore that person who realizes it becomes a worthy recipient of
bracha.
Right, because of that.
Okay.
That's that. Then he looks at it more in the universal sense, that Yaakov Avinu was a vehicle, like the other brachas, for Hashem's brachas to come to the world. And he thought, this I'm too small for.
And that was his katan.
Right, katonti, to be a vehicle for the whole world's bracha, katonti. But you chose me to do that. All right, I have to accept that. And being that you did, Hatzileni na miad achi miad Esav, save me from Esav. I don't think I'm worthy of this. I'm too small, but I am. You made me this. You want me to be this. Save me from Esav. Let me be a worthy and fitting vehicle for bracha. Then his last step in the mimer is that this is how we should look at it too. That we get up there to daven, and at that moment the world is dependent upon us. And set forth your tefillah with that in mind.
Only in our davening you're talking about?
Well, he says for tefillah, okay. You know, he's talking about tefillah, you know.
So this
needs to be carefully balanced.
Of Yaakov, that he felt that he wasn't worthy for the brachas of the world, that would be channeled through him. But he said he'd accept it because who was he to basically challenge Hashem. So, therefore, he asked not in his own merit, but in the merit that he should be able to continue.
Right. Let me be a worthy vehicle
right.
of transmitting this bracha to
and so Israel. Therefore, so I could be a worthy vehicle.
Save me from Israel.
Right. But that had nothing to do with his merit
right.
there.
It was not merit.
Only
right.
to do with, so he could continue being this vehicle since you chose him.
Right. That's right.
He was just an avid.
Right. He steered away from merit there also. That's exactly
he's a
right.
Clue.
You know, it's sort of interesting to me. I just thought of a connection here that I hadn't really thought of. Really, with this story, we begin the Torah that begins really to tell us more of the things that happened to the Shvatim, the story of Dina, and Yaakov becomes more of a character in the background. He camps there, but things happen with his family. This emotion, this katonti emotion, next really surfaces by Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare. You know, the sense of I'm not worthy.
I'm not up to this
yeah,
task.
Not
very good.
And,
nice connection with Yaakov and Moshe.
And we don't, you know, in a certain sense, I'm trying to think of the various personalities of the Shvatim, and you don't see that. You don't see that by Yosef, by Yehuda, all the various stories
it's interesting. Almost we see it in a deficient sense, because when Reuven had the opportunity to step up,
right,
and save his brother,
right.
But he pulled back. He was a little too katan in his eyes. And when Yehuda had to save Binyamin, he had to step up and say, it's me that I have to do this. That's
the
other
thing
side of
got
it.
Kind of forced upon him.
Kind of see what Yosef, not that he really came from it after being in the pit so long, or in the prison. And then when he was raised up and he said to his brothers, It's not that I've become so great as God has done this, but that's only a faint hint compared to this.
Right.
Well, and Yosef's there in the house of Potiphar, he becomes a little too great, you know? And with that, the Chazal say, you're combing your hair while your father's home crying.
Right.
You know?
Yeah?
Rabbi Howard tied this whole world talking about Parsha last night, and how Bazan is talking about how the brothers has been passed down through Yaakov here, but Rabbi Harris, the Yosef really realized the brachas from when Yaakov stole the brachas, those brachas really didn't belong to Yaakov. They ended up with Yosef because he actually inherited the brachas of being a ruler.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the next step in the chain. Mm-hmm.
But they belong to Yaakov when he got them. Seems to me. Bechorin.
Another example of the misapplication of Katonti was with Shaul HaMelech. Right, because when he did not destroy Amalek, Shmuel HaNavi said to him, "Im katon ata beinecha, you may be small in your eyes, but Nasi v'rosh v'Yisrael, you're the king of Israel." So there was some pulling back. He was katan. Shaul was a big anan, as great as he was. He was too katan, mm-hmm. and he was scolded for it by Shmuel HaNavi. You're the melech of Yisrael.
One place.
Heshi? Take that one. Heshi?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're the center. Thank you. Okay, good.
One place where maybe it shows a little bit of the application of the Kentucky, when Yaakov went back across the river to get the...
For Pachim Kitanim?
Yeah, I was just going to count.
I think one thing I learned was that they said, he's going back to these physical material things. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a true tzaddik, you realize whatever you have is important.
Yeah, right.
It's not that it's the most important thing. But
God
I
gave
have
it to you
God
for
gave
a reason.
It to me. Mm-hmm. I have it. Mm-hmm. So he went back because he accepted it. These were his things.
Those were his things, and Hashem saw fit. I saw another interesting shot on that. That's one which is very, very often taught, that concept of a tzaddik's relationship to the things God gave them. Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting thing from the Shlach that says Yaakov Avinu, of all the Avos, he had the biggest family. He had 12 kids, he had lots of wives. He had to scramble to make sure that everybody was provided for. So when he left those small vessels, he needed them.
Yeah.
He had a lot of people.
He provided that power,
for.
Not
the
waste of the Jews.
He said he needed those things. Okay. He had to go get them. He had a big family.
It's a beautiful expression of really the path of the Jewish people, that God is in the details. You know,
Yeah.
It's very much a Hanukkah Torah, what you're saying, Bob.
Well, Pachim Ketanim is related to the Hanukkah. Yeah, Shukar. Okay.